"I hear Hikahi," he announced. "And here she is." Two dolphins came in fast from the north, one light gray in appearance, the other dark and mottled. Through his headphones, Toshio heard the voice of the party leader.
"Flame-fluked eye, Hikahi call you, dorsal listening, ventral doing. Laugh at my words, but first obey them. Gather at the sled and listen."
Hikahi and Satata circled the rest of the party once, then came to rest in front of the assembled expedition. Among mankind's gifts to the Neo-Dolphin had been an expanded repertoire of facial expression. A mere 500 years of genetic engineering could not do for the porpoise what a million years of evolution had for man. Fins still expressed most of their feelings in sound and motion, but they were no longer frozen in what humans had taken, in some degree of truth, to be a grin of perpetual amusement. Fins were capable now of looking worried. Toshio might have chosen Hikahi's present expression as a classic example of Delphin chagrin.
"Phippet has disappeared," Hikahi announced. "I heard him cry out over to the south of me, then nothing. He was searching for Sasia, who disappeared earlier in the same direction. We will forego mapping and metal search to go and find them. All will be issued weapons."
There was a general susurration of discontent. It meant the Finns would have to put on the harnesses they had only just had the pleasure of removing on leaving the ship. Still, even Kipiru recognized this was urgent business. Toshio was briefly busy dropping harnesses into the water. They were supposed to spread naturally into a shape suitable for a dolphin to slip into, but inevitably one or two fins needed help fitting the small nerve amplifier socket each had just above the left eye. Toshio finished quickly, with the unconscious ease of long practice. He was worried about Sasia, a gentle fin who had always been kind and soft-spoken to him.
"Hikahi,"
he said, as the leader swam past.
"Do you want me to call the ship?"
The small gray Tersiops female rose up to face Toshio.
"Negative, ladder runner. We obey orders. Spy sats may be high already. Set your speed sled to return on auto if we fail to survive what is in the southeast."
"But no one's seen any big animals."
"That is only one possibility. I want word to get back whatever our doom, should even rescue fever strike us all."
Toshio felt cold at the mention of rescue fever. He had heard of it, of course. It was something he had no desire to witness. They set forth in skirmish formation. The Finns took turns gliding along the surface, then diving to swim alongside Toshio. The ocean bottom was like an endless series of snake tracks, pitted by strange potholes like deep craters, darkly ominous. In the valleys, Toshio could usually see bottom, 100 meters or so below, gloomy with dark blue tendrils. The long ridges were topped at intervals by the shining metal mounds, like hulking castles of shimmering spongy armor. Many were covered with thick ivy-like growths, in which Kithrupan fishes nested and bred. One metal mound appeared to be teetering on the edge of a precipice, the cavern dug by its own tall drill tree, ready to swallow the entire fortress when the undermining was done. The sled's engine hummed hypnotically. Keeping track of his instruments was too simple a task to keep Toshio's mind busy. Without really wishing to, he found himself thinking, remembering. A simple adventure, that's what it had seemed when they had asked him to come along on the space voyage. He had already taken the jumper's oath, so they knew he was ready to leave his past behind, and they needed the midshipman to help with hand-eye work on the new dolphin ship.
Streaker was a small exploratory vessel of unique design. There weren't many finned, oxygen-breathing races flying ships in interstellar space. Those few used artificial gravity for convenience, and leased members of some client species to act as crafters and handmen. But the first dolphin-crewed starship had to be different. It was designed around a principle which had guided Earthlings for two centuries. Whenever possible, keep it simple. Avoid using the science of the galactics when you don't understand it. 250 years after contact with galactic civilization, mankind was still struggling to catch up. Species which had been using the eons-old library since before mammals appeared on Earth, adding to that universal compendium with glacial slowness, had seemed almost godlike to primitive Earthmen in their early lumbering slow ships. Earth had a branch library now, supposedly giving her access to all wisdom accumulated over galactic history. But only in recent years had it proven more help than a confusing hindrance. Streaker, with its complex arrangements of centrifugally held pools and weightless workshops, must have seemed incredibly archaic to the aliens who looked it over just before launch. Still, to Earth's neo-dolphin communities, she was an object of pride. After her shakedown cruise, Streaker stopped at the small human-dolphin colony of Calathea to pick up the best graduates of its tiny academy. It was to be Toshio's first and possibly last visit to Old Earth. Old Earth was still home to 90% of humanity, not to mention the other terrestrial sapient races. Galactic tourists still thronged in to gawk at the home of the enfant terrible, who had caused such a stir in a few brief centuries. They were open in their wagering over how long mankind would survive without the protection of a patron. All species had patrons, of course. Nobody reached spacefaring intelligence without intervention by another older race. Had not men done this for chimps and dolphins? All the way back to the time of the mythical progenitors, every species that spoke and flew spaceships had been raised up by a predecessor. None still survived from that distant era, but the civilization the progenitors established, with its all-encompassing library, went on. Toshio wondered, as just about everyone had for three centuries, what the patrons of man might have been like, if they ever existed. Might they even be one of the species of fanatics that had ambushed the unsuspecting Streaker, and even now sought her out like hounds after a fox? It wasn't a pleasant line of thought, considering what the Streaker had discovered. The Terrigan's Council had sent her to join a scattered fleet of exploration vessels, checking the veracity of the library. So far, only a few minor gaps had been found in its thoroughness. Here a star misplaced, there a species miscatalogued. It was like finding someone had written a list describing every grain of sand on a beach. You could never check the complete list in the thousand lifetimes of a race, but you could take a random sampling. Streaker had been poking through a small gravitational tide pool, 50,000 parsecs off the galactic plane, when she found the fleet. Toshio sighed at the unfairness of it. 150 dolphins, 7 humans, and a chimpanzee. How could we have known what we found? Why did we have to find it? 50,000 ships, each the size of a moon. That's what they found. The dolphins had been thrilled by the discovery, the biggest derelict fleet ever encountered, apparently incredibly ancient. Captain Krydike had psi-cast to Earth for instructions. Damn it. Why did he call Earth? Couldn't the report have waited until we'd gone home? Why let the whole eavesdropping galaxy know you'd found a sargasso of ancient hulks in the middle of nowhere? The Terrigan's council had answered in code, "Go into hiding."